I would like to read four passages in Scripture. The first one is in Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Let me say in the beginning, please excuse if I pronounce some words not correct. There are some words that are not so often used in Scripture. I want to read in Luke 6, verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples, and having chosen out 12 from them, whom also he named apostles, Simon, to whom also he gave the name of Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was also called Zealot, and Judas, brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, who was also his betrayer. And having descended with them, he stood on a level place, and a crowd of his disciples, and a great multitude of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem, and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him, and to be healed of their diseases. And those that were beset by unclean spirits were healed. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed all. And then two verses in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not pollute himself with the king's delicate food, nor with the wine which he drank. And he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not have to pollute himself. And God granted Daniel favor and mercy before the prince of the eunuchs. The third passage in Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verses 1 to 4. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yet the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she layeth her young. Thine altars, O Jehovah of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be constantly praising thee. And finally, two verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trump of God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be always with the Lord. These passages, on the first view, may not belong together or have many things together or similar thoughts, maybe. And I would like to present these passages in the light of prayer. Prayer can be seen in so many ways. It's not a prayer just to do in the morning or at night before going to sleep. Prayer is not only something that has to be seen in view of man. Prayer always has to be seen in view of God. So these passages I would like to bring before us in the matter of prayer. Prayer should be a constant act in the life of a believer. And I'm sure, and I can say it because I see my own failure, I'm sure prayer is often put aside. Even if it is communication with our Lord and Savior. Prayer also is a great part of worshiping. is a great part of adoration. So to go into Scripture and to look what Scripture says about prayer is a very precious precious thing, and I was tested to bring that before you, before us all. It is, in a way, I say it often, it is in a way important to know that what is preached and what is addressed is not only for them who hear, but also for the one who speaks, the one who preaches. I'm not, I do not put myself away from this, or I may think that I fully understand this matter or fully practice it in the right way God wants it. So it is something that is helpful for us all. I would like to go to Luke, and something we must understand, always when we try to figure out something in Scripture, when we try to get help for our personal life, when we try to get understanding and wisdom in Scripture, we first have to look to our Lord. I chose Luke to speak first about, because it tells us about our Lord, how He prayed, and even that He prayed. This is, in a way, something very interesting, that the Lord was praying. One might ask, why needed the Lord to pray? He was a perfect man. He was the Son of God. So why do we find so many passages in Scriptures where the Lord was praying? And it is something really precious for us, I'm quite sure about that. And I would like to speak about a few things that I think were reason for the Lord to pray. First of all, we need to see the relationship between the Father and the Son. The Lord often said that he did the will of the Father. He often said that He loves the Father, and the Father loves Him. So when we think about the love the Father and the Son had for each other, it is the logic consequence that the Lord prayed, that He wanted to have contact and communication with His Father. We often fail in relationships to communicate. Communication, if it is done wrong, or even if it is not been known, is a great matter for problems in relationships. And we see the Lord, even He was a perfect man, praying to God. I'm quite sure He prayed because He wanted to be in the near of His Father. We see Him in this passage go to the mountain. He slipped away from all that surrounded Him. He wanted a prayer that was marked by silence, a prayer that was marked by being alone with God. Even we find other passages, especially in Luke's Gospel, where He prayed while the disciples were with Him. But we may have a look to these passages later on. So we first see the relationship between the Father and the Son. Then we have another precious thought why the Lord prayed. And we can have a short look at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. That's the occasion the Lord was baptized. And it came to pass, all the people having been baptized, and Jesus having been baptized and praying, that the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily form as a dove upon him, and a voice came out of heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I have found my delight. So we see that the Lord started his service on earth with prayer. It is wonderful. We see prayer is needed. It's not just something we should do once a day or maybe once a week. Prayer is something that has a constant character for the life of a believer, especially when we want to go into service, especially when we want to do something for the Lord. You know, believers often speak about their weaknesses and how sad they are not able to serve the Lord in the right way because they cannot quit with some things of the old man. So we often hear about weaknesses, and I'm sure everyone can understand this. But where there is no personal relationship with the Lord, their weaknesses cannot be put aside. We cannot be strong and overcome weaknesses and go into service or do something good for the Lord when we have no contact and no communication with Him. Something very precious to see the Lord starting His service on the earth, His work, His way to fulfill God's will by a prayer, and how God expresses His love for Him when the Spirit came upon him. How wonderful this expression of God. I tell you, I could mention it the whole address long when we speak about prayer and we speak about the Lord's way. We can always speak about God's expression that He made here in this moment. This is my beloved Son. In Thou art my beloved Son. In Thee I have found my delight. He speaks directly to the Lord. We have other passages where He speaks of Him, about Him. But here He speaks directly to Him. A wonderful expression of communication and love between the Father and the Son. Another interesting thing is to look on prayer according to the Lord Himself is Luke's Gospel itself. I think we find in every Gospel prayers of the Lord or the writers of the Gospels speaking about the Lord praying, but Luke's Gospel in a way is very special because it is often mentioned that Luke's Gospel presents the Lord as the true man. And to see the Lord as true man, to be so often in prayer, is something precious and testing for each one of us. We should put that on our own lives and see the Lord in that way as the true man. Luke mentions it very often. For example, in chapter 5, verse 16, and he withdrew himself and was about in the desert places and praying. How precious to see the Lord withdrew. It is this world, and it gets even worse in our time. This world is so full of noise and so full of movement. You cannot stay still in this world. You're always running out of time. You are always confronted with things. And it is so precious to find moments to withdraw, to slip away and be alone with God. What a precious time to be alone with God. And the Lord shows us how important it was for Him, how much more important it should be for us, dear brethren. I just want show you a few more passages in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 18. And it came to pass as he was praying alone, his disciples were with him. This is a passage where the disciples may have heard what he prayed. I don't want to go deep in this, in these passages, just to mention how the Lord prayed, because I want to put our eyes again on chapter 6. And verse 28, and it came to pass after these words, about 8 days, that taking Peter and John and James, he went up into a mountain to pray. I really would like to know what the Lord prayed. Think of the disciples. Think of Peter, John and James hearing the Lord praying. What wonderful moments that must have been for them. Hear the Lord praying. Hear the Lord that knows the Father the most. Hear Him speaking with His Father. The deep relationship He had to the Father. And they could hear this communication. Wonderful. Really wonderful. A last verse I want to share with you is chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, as he was in a certain place praying, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. This is marvelous. Have you ever said to the Lord, teach me to pray? I have a test for the young ones, maybe. When you are at home again, go through the Gospels and look for passages where the disciples ask the Lord to teach them something. Look how many you find, and you will be very impressed how much there are. And yeah, prayer it's wonderful. The disciples wanted to know how to pray. You can see maybe a kind of development. The Lord prayed alone. They heard Him praying, and they wanted to know how to pray. That's the result of a relationship, a living relationship. Learn from the Lord, hear the Lord, have Him as model, and then ask Him how to do by your own. A wonderful development in Luke's Gospel. We know that it is the Gospel that is chronologic, so we can be assured that these things happened right how they were mentioned. So let's go short back to Luke chapter 6. It's wonderful to see the Lord praying, and I think we can get an impression of the matter of the prayer. When we see the passages before in chapter 6, we see the Lord on the Sabbath going with His disciples through the cornfields, and His disciples were plucking the ears and eating them and rubbing them in their hands. This was not allowed at the Sabbath. So the Pharisees, they were angry about it. We may see that the Lord brings grace and liberty into this place. Grace and liberty into a lawful world. Also, in the following passage, where the Lord heals the hand of a person, and all these Pharisees and scribes were around Him, He heals the right hand. It's interesting that His disciples were eating and were rubbing the ears in their hands. For me, it's a wonderful matter of freedom and liberty. And in the next passage, He healed the hand of a person. It's wonderful what the Lord wanted to bring in. And because of the Pharisees were against Him, this wonderful bringing in of liberty and freedom in this lawful world may have been a substance of this prayer. Because afterwards, He chose His disciples, who He also named apostles, which is a type of following, a name of following the Lord. So they should be there to help the Lord in bringing in this wonderful thing of liberty and freedom. So this might have been the matter of prayer of the Lord, and it's wonderful to see how He chose His disciples and what power came out of Him, what power was be seen in Him after this prayer. After coming back from the mountain, He was full of power, and He was willing to heal the crowd, heal the people, bring something they have never seen before, deal with their matters, what the Pharisees didn't do before. It must have been something totally different for them to see this person full of power, full of strength, doing the will of God and healing them and choosing some to be His disciples, His apostles. What a wonderful happening here in Luke chapter 6. And it should be a test for us that the Lord was the whole night in prayer. He spent the night in prayer to God. Have we ever spent the whole night in prayer to God? When the Lord did, how needful it is for us. A whole night in prayer for God. Wonderful to see the Lord as an example, as the perfect example. So I want to go to Daniel, say a bit about Daniel. Daniel was a man of prayer. I think we can say that. We can read that, for example, in chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 10. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, was a writing that no one was allowed to pray to any god or ask any man for something for 30 days. So when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his upper chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. It is wonderful to see Daniel as an example of prayer. We know how wise he was. He had understanding in all visions and dreams. He was not only able to tell the king the meaning of his dreams, he was even able to tell him his dreams before he told him. Mm-hmm. How wise he was. And we see definitely a result of prayer, how God protected him. He had to go into the den of lions because he prayed. He was alone with hungry lions. God closed their mouth. There was no one wound found in him. I think it is also said not one hair he lost. God protected him and his friends in the fire oven, for example. How precious is the matter of prayer we see here. And it is, one may ask, why was Daniel such a great man of prayer? Even he was in a foreign land. He was not in his own land. He could not worship God in the way the people did in their own land. So one might ask, why was he such a wonderful man of prayer? And I'm sure we find it in the verses that we have read in chapter 1. Daniel purposed in his heart. The heart is the center of man. The heart is the inner being of our mind and soul. It is presented to us in the Bible as the place where evil comes from. We can see that in Genesis chapter 6, in the times of Noah, where God was where Jehovah saw the wickedness of man, that it was great on the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, only evil continually. We see how the heart usually is, the condition of man. Also, in the New Testament, Mark is writing about that in chapter 7. Mark says in chapter 7, verse 21, from within, out of the heart of men, go forth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, a wicked eye, injurious language, haughtiness, folly. All these wicked things go forth from within and defile the man. So it must have pleased God to see a man that decided in his heart not to pollute with the king's delicate food and the wine he drank. He decided in his heart to be a man of God and to seek after God's will. Even he was in a foreign country. Even God allowed the king of Babylon to win against the people of Israel. These circumstances couldn't bring Daniel away from his wish to, from his heart wish, to do not pollute with the king's delicate. A wonderful matter to see that. And we can think of Samuel choosing David, what God said to him when he was looking, when all these sons were presented to him. God sent to him that man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. That's something to be known, to be remembered every day, that God looketh upon the heart. He knows our decisions, he knows our conscience, he knows our condition, and we see it in the example of Daniel, how wonderful it was. And out of this decision came a relationship, came trust, and came a wonderful faith. I'm not a good storyteller, and I'm really careful to tell stories because I often wonder if a story is worthy to be told in an address or in a gospel preaching. But I want to share one story with you that I heard and that really impressed me. It was at the Niagara Falls, where a group of tourists meet every day to see the marvelous wonder of God's creation. And one day there was an artist, and he had a rope, and he spanned it above the water from one end to the other. And he went over the rope, and always when he arrived on one side, he received great applause. The crowd was enthused, and always when I heard this story, I thought when I would have been there, I may have stood with my mouth open, just seeing someone doing something like this. And sometimes he took a balance stick. He walked with a balance stick over the water, sometimes without. But he was always successful. Sometimes he swung as if he would fall. He made it that on purpose to make it more exciting. But he never falls. He never falls in the water. And he considered at a moment to do something special next time. And he took a wheelbarrow and put it on the rope. And before he went over again with the wheelbarrow, he turned around and asked, "Do you believe I can bring the wheelbarrow over the rope?" And an old lady stood there and she said, "Well, I'm sure you can." And he said to her, "Well, please, then step in." And she didn't step in. She stood there. I don't know if I would have stepped in. And he asked again if there's really no one who would like to step into the wheelbarrow, and suddenly a young boy, maybe 10 years, he stepped forward and said, "I will go, I will step in." And he stepped into the wheelbarrow, and the crowd was really frightening. And the artist brought him to the other side, and the crowd was still. He brought him back, and he brought him back to the side without one wet feet. And there was no applause, no applause, just amazement. The crowd was silent. And afterwards, when the boy was questioned why he had been so careless, he answered, "You know, me and my father, we do that once in a while." And this is what I would like to bring before us. What comes out of a relationship is trust. Trust, and you know your opponent. It's wonderful to be in God's hands. And prayer has a great part in that. Let's go to Psalm 84. In Daniel, we read of the personal relationship, maybe prayer in a practical way. And Psalm 84 is a bit different. It brings us in God's sphere, in God's area, if I may say it so. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Jehovah of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of Jehovah. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." God's house must be a place of affection, a place where the soul can rest, a place where at first God is worshipped. It is a place for the soul, as we read here. When we go on, we see that the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she layeth her young. And then the sons of Korah, the writers of this psalm, say, "Thine altars, O Jehovah of hosts, my King and my God." It's wonderful to be there where God is. The altars have such a pleasure for God, because we see Christ everywhere. We cannot be in the house of God and be without Christ. We cannot be there and don't see Christ. And don't see God's pleasure, God's delight in Christ. When we think of the altars in the tabernacle, in the desert, we first have the altar of the brand offering. And when we go, this is the altar where we see our reconciliation in the work of Christ. How he offered himself so that our sins may be forgiven. When we go further, in the tent, we find the altar of incense. And this is something so precious, according to prayer, to see the incense in the holy, to see the smelling that is wonderful to God. We read in Exodus how God ordered Moses how the incense should be. There was an order through all what the incense is. Nothing man can decide what is brought before God to please him. It's God's will that has to be done and to be seen in the incense. Many different things put together, and I think we can see the beauty of Christ in all these things that come together there. The character of Christ, the love of Christ, the work of Christ, everything He did, but not only what He did, but especially what He is as a person. We should see Christ as what He is. We should get to know Him in this way. And then we can bring incense. Incense, according to Psalm 141, is the prayer. 141 verse 2, the prayer of the believers. We also can read it in Revelation, chapter 5. Verse 6, and I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, a lamb standing as slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which are sent into all the earth. And it came and took it out of the right hand of him to set upon the throne. And when it took the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So incense can be shown, can be seen in prayer. In prayer of asking for something, but also in thanksgiving, and especially in worship, in prayers of praising and adoring God. And when we see the Lord, the Lord's character, the Lord's person, and His attributes in the incense, we realize, and also that the altar of incense may speak of the Lord, we see that our praises can only be brought before God through Christ. We cannot praise outside of Christ. It's not acceptable for God. Worship without Christ is not acceptable for God. Christ is everything. So how important it is to get to know Him, to love Him, to have a constant relationship with Him, so that we can bring God something He has delight in. The beauty of Christ, His life on earth, His life now in heaven. He's not dead any longer. He resurrected. He's no longer among the dead. He's risen. Sometimes I think the impression of a living Savior, a living Lord, could heal many problems in the life of a believer. It is important to see Him at the cross, definitely. No doubt about it. But it is also important to know Him as living Savior, as resurrected and risen, and to be sit on the right hand of God. This is what we can bring before God in incense. And He has delight in this wonderful worship. Just the last thing I want to say about this psalm. Blessed are they, verse 4, that dwell in thy house, they will be constantly praising thee. How wonderful. This house is a house of worship, a house of praise. It's marvelous that nothing else can be brought in this house. When we want to have entrance there, we have to leave everything behind except Christ. Everything else. So we get an understanding why we maybe gather the way we gather, different to what is usual in the world, with all the music and all things that belong to the flesh. We can only enter through Christ by the Spirit. God wants to be worshipped through Christ and through the Spirit. Wonderful thing. Let us, it is, even if it's spoken of dwelling there constantly or praising there constantly, it's not only something, it's not just something for a coming day. This is to be started now. It started very early through the ages, and it will go on and will be perfect on a coming day. Perfect praise. It's wonderful to think about that. So let's finally go to 1 Thessalonians. And I'm going to speak less about that passage than about the others. 1 Thessalonians 4. I would like to read it again. For the Lord himself, with an assembling shout, with archangel's voice, and with trumpet of God, shall descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the living, who remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be always with the Lord. This passage does not speak about prayer. But when I read this passage, I'm a bit ashamed, because when the Lord is coming to get us, to put us to the place where he is, I want to know him now. I don't want to live my life now and when he comes be ashamed, because I just know the work at the cross. Please forgive me when I say just. It's the work, the greatest work ever been done. But it doesn't stop there for a believer. It goes on. It goes on in a relationship, in getting to know him day by day, minute by minute, to get to know him. To get to know him. Think of how wonderful it must be when he suddenly comes and you say, this is my Savior, I know him. I know who he is. I know his attributes. I know his character. I know his love. Think how wonderful that must be. And you don't have to be ashamed, because you know the most of my time I spent with the world and not with the Lord. Terrible. Really terrible. The Lord is waiting for that moment. So should we. So should we. We should wait for him. And waiting for him means to have a relationship with him. Maybe you have, maybe some of you have had a letter friendship, I don't know how it is called in English, when you don't know someone, when you haven't seen someone already, but you write letters to him. We sometimes did it in school. We had these pupils exchange, and before we met them, we should write letters. So you write a letter to someone you don't know. And it's a bit similar. We don't see the Lord right before us as a person in flesh. We don't see him in flesh. But we can discover him in Scripture through faith. We can discover him in prayer. Some of us, or some might think prayer is only something where we should talk. I tell you, sometimes it's better for us to be quiet in prayer and to let the Lord speak to us. It's not something just to talk about. It's something to live and to discover. That's the word I was thinking of, to discover. Let us be always in this condition to wait for the Lord. I appreciated to hear an address of someone. I don't know if you know Roger Lévy. He comes from Switzerland, and he does great addresses about prophecy. And it was really amazing for me to see. I heard one address. It was really amazing for me to see that all prophecies that have to be fulfilled before this coming of the Lord here in 1 Thessalonians are fulfilled. There are a few that have to be fulfilled before the coming of the Lord in Israel, his coming as king. There are a few that have to be fulfilled. But all these that need to be fulfilled before this moment when he comes to take his assembly, these are all fulfilled. So don't take it, please take it serious. It may be tonight, it may be tomorrow, we don't know how much time we have left, and I think we should shouldn't think about the time. We shouldn't think how much time may I have left until the Lord comes. This is the wrong heart condition. This is not what Daniel did. This is not what Daniel did when he decided in his heart not to pollute with the king's delegate. This is exactly the difference, a different thing. We should be constantly awaiting the Lord's coming to get his assembly. It's wonderful how Paul describes it. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we, the living, who remain. That is exactly what should mark our thinking and our life. We, the living, we will see him coming in the clouds while we are alive. This keeps us away from all this, what surrounds us and what is part of the world, evil. I have to say that so clear. Maybe may we be encouraged. Amen. We will hear his voice, archangel's voice, and the trump of God. What a sound that will be. We have never heard it, but the moment we hear it, we will know what it is. This is God. He doesn't leave us unknown or without knowledge. He doesn't leave us without knowledge. When this sound shall rise, we will hear it. And when the Lord comes, I hope we will know him through our prayer life that we had with him. Through prayer in practical meaning, to be protected from the world, to be sanctified, to be part of his assembly, and in the way to worship him. Prayer as a wonderful thing of incense, a wonderful smell for God that he loves to smell. That is for him, just for him, through Christ. Let us get to know him, and let us do it in prayer, and it will help us a lot, I'm quite sure. Time has gone very fast. I'm really thankful because I think the Lord helped, the Spirit helped. This should encourage also the young ones of us to do something for the Lord. Serving does not mean for everyone to go out and preach the gospel in England or in South America or in Africa. It must not mean to do an address very early in faith life. It may be done in little things, in small things. Care for brethren, encouragement for young ones, to make offers, personal offers, to put ourselves a bit aside. That's very hard. I know that. Believe me. I'm saying this because I need to grow in that. Little things, that's to be start with. And also little prayers. And it can grow. Prayer is not a thing for older ones only. Prayer is not for those only who preach the word. Prayer is for everyone. The Lord said, let the young ones come to me. So I would like to encourage you. It is for you. And when you pray something and you do not have a reaction from God, immediately, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. The Lord acts with you different as the world acts. When you say something to a person, you might get an immediate reaction. A good one, a bad one. The reaction might bring joy with it, or tears, or pain even. But you will have an immediate reaction. The Lord is able to do the same, but don't be discouraged when He doesn't answer in the way you want Him to answer. That's often our problem, why we give up prayer, because the Lord doesn't answer us like we want to. We have something in our mind, in our head, and we want it. I want it. And we go into prayer, no answer. And we say, prayer is nothing for me. Others may be good in that, but I'm not. This is wrong. Beloved, children, young ones, this is wrong. Prayer needs to get to know God like He is. And in the end, you will discover that He's faithful. 1 John, wonderful letter about the faithfulness of God, about God as the loving one, about God who appreciates when we decide not to walk again in sins. Wonderful to know that. Maybe to finish, we maybe can read one verse in 1 John chapter 2. Might be good. It's in chapter 2, verse 6. First epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 6. He that says he abides in him ought, even as he walked himself, also so to walk. It's a wonderful thing to close this address, again to turn to the Lord, again to point on Him. It's pleasing Him when we walk like He did. And therefore it is needed to look on Him. When you want to discover what prayer really means, go through these passages in the Gospels where you can find out how He prayed and why He prayed and what He prayed. Sometimes we get a little glimpse in it, what He prayed. Think of John chapter 17. So look at it. Go into this prayer life, and it will lead us to a wonderful worship like we find in Psalm 84, a wonderful worship. God is worthy to be worshipped for Christ, for giving Him for our sins. Look what He gave to us. Not things that are a matter of time, but things that are a matter of glory, things that are timeless, that will never end. A rich treasure we have in Him, because these are unseen things of glory. It's a wonderful hymn. We often sing, I love to tell a story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I would like to finish with these words. and encourage us all. May the Lord bless this word for his name's sake.
Amen.